How would you like to earn 30% of your income from your blog, from your own email list? Hi, I'm Jared Krause. I am the host of the Buying Online Businesses podcast. And today I'm speaking with Jesse Fester, who is the creator of the travel blogs, Jesse on a Journey and Epicure and Culture. She is also the founder of Travel Blog Prosperity, which is a membership community for bloggers wanting to grow their traffic, their community and income, as well as New York City Photo Journeys, a New York-based photography company. Her work has appeared in publications like USA Today, CNN, Business Insider, Thrillist, and WestJet magazine. And in this podcast episode, Jesse and I specifically talk about why she started blogging and how she became successful with the patience and how that was a big part of it for her and a part-time gig as well, and how that dynamic was very, very important for also my suggestions for people that wanted to make money online too. We also talk about how her blog operates, a lot about how it operates, and we break down the split in revenue between a few different things, digital products, affiliates, ads, partnerships, and all those sorts of things. And there's so many cool things that she's got going on that I feel that you're going to be able to tap into if you're going to buy a blog or already own a blog. We talk about things like email marketing. We talk about digital product sales. We talk about building affiliate partnerships and how to have high conversions with affiliate partnerships. She also discusses a nifty two-click tip from Mediavine. We talk about some SEO tips that she's picked up along the way. I ask her about link building. Does she do it? If so, when does she do link building and which pages does she do link building to? And we also touch on AI and when she uses AI and why we both don't use it as often at all, really. And there's so much value in this podcast episode. You guys are absolutely going to love it. Let's dive in. What's up? This is Jared, and I am stoked to have you here. Before we dive into the show, I want to remind you that for a limited time, you can get one-to-one voice note mentoring with me to help you buy and grow your online business. I'm opening up just a few slots of voice note coaching to give you one-to-one access to me via Coachbox. You'll tell me your goals and challenges, and we'll work through them together. I'll ask questions, I'll tell you what I think, and we'll get you ticking boxes and achieving your online income goals. You can message me anytime, and I'll respond within 48 hours. Right now, you can get 20% off by using the coupon code Jared, that's J-A-R-Y-D, and I'll drop the link in the show notes so you can find out more. Until then, let's get on with the episode. Jesse, welcome to the pod.
Thank you for having me.
I am curious to hear your story because your story could have been my story. I first started in trying to make money online with a travel blog as well. It was called Oz Globetrotter, AUSGlobetrotter.com. I literally typed into Google when I was living in Egypt. I'd done a lot of travel, like 40-ish countries or so. And I was like, I don't want to go back to plumbing, my job that I had at the time. And I was living in Egypt working as a dive master. And I typed in, how do I travel the world and make money online? And that's what popped up. And I became a travel blogger for 2 years. And I realized, damn, it was pretty tough for the first 2 years. You are a travel blogger. Congratulations on making it. How long have you been travel blogging for?
So I started in 2011. And yes, in those early days, it is definitely tricky because you're like working towards something that you kind of hope will come, but you're not. It's so different than if you get like a normal 9-to-5 job and it's like, here's your salary and here are your benefits. You're kind of like working towards something that you have in your head that isn't there yet. So it can definitely be really, really tricky. I definitely had another job on the side. I was a waitress and a freelance writer. So while I built it up, I still had money coming in. And I think that was really, really helpful versus kind of just like canceling all of that and just doing the blog on its own. I found it really helpful to have that side income, but it was also very flexible. Like it wasn't a 9-to-5, especially the freelance writing. I could do it from anywhere in the world, but I was still having money coming in.
So you're doing freelance writing as your side gig whilst you're working on the blog?
Yes. In those early days, sometimes freelance now, but not so much. It's pretty much all stuff with the blog unless like a great opportunity arises. But yeah, the first, like, I'd say 2 or 3 years, I was definitely doing a lot of freelance travel writing.
I love that. How do you think that is for sense of security and for allowing less stress and emphasis on the blog panning out perfectly and working ASAP. How did you find that? Because I'm a big advocate for people. They want to buy a business and I'm like, cool, let's go do it. And they go, I'm going to quit my job and we're going to buy a business. I'm like, no, don't do that. Like, it's worth having this other thing that's giving you an income still until you replace that income with another venture. What was that like for you? And do you recommend that to people as well when they start travel blogging or any online venture?
Absolutely. Yeah, I still, you know, I wanted to like live on my own and have, you know, go to restaurants and pay my bills, pay my student loans that I had at the time. So, oh my gosh, I can't imagine if I didn't have some income coming in, I would have been a very nervous wreck about like how I was going to pay my rent and stuff. But the thing with freelance travel writing that was so great was while I was earning an income, I was also building backlinks. I was building my, you know, brands, because when you freelance write, you often get a bio. I was making amazing connections still in the industry and really getting my name out there. So it was a way to make money, but that job in particular was also a way to like help me grow my blog at the same time.
I love it. It's income that you can use to pay bills, but also invest into the business. Why did you get into travel blogging or this whole make money online space? What was the motivation for that?
Yeah, so I originally went to college with like nonprofit PR in mind, but then I studied abroad and I became hooked. I did travel growing up with my parents more like amusement park road trips and Caribbean cruises, which I absolutely loved, but there was something so different about going across the world on my own. I live in New York and, you know, Australia is pretty far from there.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just such an incredible experience to be on my own, seeing these places that I'd never seen, having these new experiences. And I just really knew in that moment, like, this is something I want to continue doing. I did not know what blogging was at this time because, I don't remember what year it was. I started blogging in 2011 and I barely knew what a blog was at that point. But I had kind of researched travel jobs. I was a travel agent for a very short time. Didn't love that. I felt like that was more like sales than I thought it would be. And then I saw these kind of normal people that seemed just like me. They weren't, you know, when I thought of travel content creators at the time, I was thinking of like Rick Steves and Samantha Brown. But these were normal people, not celebrities, getting paid to write about their travels. And I was like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. I don't really know what this is, but I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah, cool. That was the same energy that I had when I was like, I'm going to make this work no matter what. And I gave up on travel blogging. I started very similar time to you. You started in 2011. I started mine in 2013. Started 2013 and I ran it for about 2 years and realized I want to make money faster. And I was just impatient. Tell me about impatient. Tell me about patience. Or impatience in this whole journey?
Yeah, I was able to take it full-time in about a year, but it was mainly with kind of like working with brands and sponsorships. Everyone is different. Personally, if I started again, my focus would definitely be on the SEO, the traffic, getting the passive income first. I do still work with brands and I do like paid press trips and stuff, but it's funny. I feel like those are the things that get people into this, particularly in travel. It's like, oh, I want to travel for free. I want to work with brands. I want to work with hotels. But what people don't realize is that is such an active way to make money. Sometimes even just setting myself up as a vendor in their system takes over an hour.
Wow.
And you haven't even started the project yet, right? So
yeah.
If I was starting over again, I would definitely have gone hard on like mastering SEO from day one. Get working towards like Mediavine or whatever ad network you want to work with and that affiliate income. And then I've also over the years launched my own kind of courses, memberships. I do tours and things like that. But yeah, I would have done passive first, then my own products, and then working with brand stuff would come kind of after that for me. For me personally, everyone is different.
I think that's a great way to go is work on the SEO, make the content so damn good that you're going to get the traffic and build out some digital products and do some affiliate, you know, have some affiliate programs without being affiliate partnerships where it requires you to actively work on it, like you mentioned before. So what does that look like for you now? Since 2011, what's that, 12 years you've been blogging? Where does most of your revenue come from now? Is it, you know, say from Mediavine, you know, 70% or then affiliate and digital products? What's sort of the split between those two?
Yeah, or four or five,
however many you've got.
Yeah, it's kind of split. Well, the way I kind of have my spreadsheet laid out, it's like Mediavine is one thing. I separate my products into the courses and membership and then like tours. And I call them like influencer shoots and photo shoots here in New York City. So that's a separate thing. And I would say those three things are kind of even. Then it would be affiliate marketing. And then the working with brands and paid press trips for me at this point, it's kind of when like a great opportunity arises that I think sounds fun and like something my audience would like, and it kind of lands in my lap, then I'll do it. But I don't as actively pursue those things as much as I used to. Still like a good moneymaker, but it's gotta be really good for me to want to, you know, it's like I said, very active, very time consuming to put together a campaign.
So what's the split between those? Like, would you say Mediavine is most of your revenue or, and then affiliate programs?
I would say it's kind of split between evenly at the top three. It would be Mediavine, my courses and membership, and then my tours and influencer shoots. Mediavine is my favorite because it's totally passive. But with the courses and membership, you know, the membership's great because you get the recurring revenue. But I have, you know, loads of different kind of sales funnels set up in the back end and things like that. So it's not a totally passive income because you do have to answer emails with the membership. I'm creating new content all the time, but I don't have to like email my list every single day and say, hey, you know, join my course. It's kind of all running in the back end.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Memberships are a beautiful thing. They're so valuable for people that are in them as well. Like as it scales, it just gets way more valuable. I run a membership and people love it. I'm sure they love yours as well. So there's so many things I want to dive into here in terms of what's your 80-20 in your day and the work that you are doing, like what's your Pareto principle and what you spend your time on. But first, I want to dig into SEO. How did you learn SEO and how did it evolve for you? Was it something that you like, I'm going to start a blog and then you started writing and then did you realize, I need to learn what keyword research is and stuff like that? Like, how did this evolve for you and what did you learn at different stages and why?
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember when I started, I think I thought like SEO was just like choosing a keyword and like thinking about it in your head. Like, I don't think I fully knew a strategy was involved. Like, even when I talk to a lot of my students and members, I'll ask them like, how's your knowledge of SEO? And they're like, well, I put the keyword into the Yoast plugin. And what they don't realize is, okay, that's not SEO. You need to have like the strategy. Did you do the keyword research? Did you find supporting keywords? Did you see like that you could actually rank for this? There's so much more that goes into it. From those early days, how did I learn SEO? When I first started, I definitely did take a course. I don't think the course I took exists anymore, but that was step one for me because it was something so unfamiliar to me. I mean, even blogging in itself was super unfamiliar to me. So I wanted to learn what everything was. That course was definitely a little more geared towards how to be a better writer and how to work with brands and learn paid press strips. So it didn't get into SEO so much. I think I learned it from an ebook and watching YouTube videos actually, and just kind of like learning as I went. Now I really kind of, you know, the main tool I use for everything is key search. Looking at that first page, if I could rank for something, there's a few keyword research strategies I use. Sometimes I kind of start with an idea and look at the supporting ideas. Sometimes I'll do competitor research. I always think that's a great way to go because you have that hard data of what's actually bringing people traffic. I'll do research sometimes to see if there's like maybe a forum post I can outrank. So now I have a few different strategies that I use to find keywords. But yeah, at this point, I think one of my favorite little tips that's like non-technical is writing about the same topic all the time. Hmm. It's going to make it a lot easier to rank. So for me at this point, because I'm solo female travel, if I want to write about like a solo female travel guide, that's usually my go-to for a type of content. I have a pretty good idea of like what I want to do, if I could rank, what the outline will be and things like that.
I love it. And I want to talk about what you mentioned there and break that down, and why is it easier to rank on a certain topic if you cover it multiple times? For example, for solo female travel, and I want to explain this for people listening so they understand what topical authority is and how you can generate that, is that you want to rank for solo female travel, but there's longer phrase or long tail keywords at the start or before the three words solo female travel. That could be solo female travel in Bali, solo female travel in Australia, solo female travel, all these different places. But what you're doing is you're showing Google that the more content you create around solo female travel, the more of an authority that you're building in that space. And it's easier for you to, when you do create another article around that, it's easier for you to rank for it because you've already got topical authority in that space. And Google's like, yeah, cool. You've nailed this topic. We're going to rank that. Is that what you mean by that?
Absolutely. And I see it in, you know, with my own students and members all the time. They're so resistant, and I get it because we're all multifaceted people. We want to write about every single thing. But once they niche down, for the people who actually like are like, okay, I'll do it, the results are incredible. Like one woman, I hadn't seen her in a bit and I knew she was like struggling for a while. I connected with her like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, wow, you are doing amazing online. Like, you know, just her site has improved and her social media has a ton of engagement. And I was like, what'd you change? And she's like, I just write about the city I live in. And it just made all the difference for her. And I know for me, I have Jessie on a Journey, but I also have a much smaller site, but it outranks other sites all the time because it's for my tour company. It's all about NYC travel. So I outrank bigger sites all of the time. And I know I have another friend who has I would call a big travel blog, but they kind of cover everything. Her and her husband just started a fully Brooklyn travel site, not just like say a year ago. And they're kind of like focusing fully on that now because they're like, it's just so much easier to grow.
Yeah, because you got hyper focus and Google knows, okay, this is what this is about. Yeah, you're covering the thing that you're actually talking about in multiple different places. So what's your favorite, I'm thinking about in terms of SEO, you mentioned keywords and how you go about that. And then also we covered topical authority. What do you think is the most important SEO sort of strategy or SEO tool or not tool, SEO tip that you use in your blog?
Yeah. So along with the topical authority, one tip I always give people is to try to move your links as close to the homepage as possible. So what I do is I create what I call a silo page. I mean, there's so many different names for this thing, like cornerstone content, hub page, but a page that, let's say you have like three main topics you cover. You'd create a page for each of those topics, link each of those pages in your main menu or somewhere on your homepage. The main menu, I think, usually makes the most sense. Then when new content gets published on one of those topics, you link it to the relevant page. So for me, I have a solo female travel guide silo page. And I will, you know, if I write about solo female travel in Bali, I will then link it on that page. If I write about solo female travel in NYC, I will link it to that page. And what I'm always trying to do is get my links no more than two clicks from the homepage. This is actually a tip I learned from Mediavine themselves.
What do you mean by no more than two clicks from the homepage?
Like,
so, yeah,
you wouldn't, you know, if I can't link every article I write in my menu, right? Like that would be crazy. I have over 1,000 blog posts. So the one click would be the actual silo page.
Yeah.
And then the second click would be clicking in that silo page. Does that make sense? I know that's hard without like a visual.
Yeah. So solo female travel. One click would be on a solo female travel. Another click would be solo female travel Bali. And that's two.
Exactly.
Clicks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Got you. So you never want any one piece of content that you have more than two clicks away from the homepage.
At least the ones you want to rank. Like some people have pages that maybe are no indexed or whatever, but the blog posts and pages that you want to rank, I would get those closer to the homepage.
I love it. I love it. it's great for user experience too, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what Google is all about. What other cool yeah. little nifty tricks have you learned from either Mediavine or some of the courses that you've done, or just along you know data that you've found yourself?
Yeah, not so much SEO, but one thing for traffic, because I know like, you know, SEO and traffic is really related, that I think is a missed opportunity, at least for, you know, I work with bloggers in the travel space, so I really know that niche, is growing your email list. I always get people say, oh, I'm posting on Instagram all the time, but I'm not getting traffic. And I kind of remind people, you know, Instagram is great for working with brands or connecting with your community, but people are scrolling on that. They're not really clicking away. Whereas your email list, you can not only promote your own products and affiliate links, if the affiliate program allows email promotion, but you can let them know about your new blog posts, your podcast episodes, your YouTube videos. And I do great with direct or traffic directly from the newsletter. I mean, I would say 90% of my traffic is SEO, but after that, in terms of like newsletter versus social, my newsletter would be the next thing.
You're singing my song here. I don't think enough bloggers use their email list as well as they should, and leave so much on the table, especially in terms of revenue. It's cool to see that, yeah, we're getting a bunch of traffic coming back from the email list to the site. That's great for SEO. But the amount of money people leave on the table without, you know, tapping to the email list is insane. So tell me about how you generate revenue through your email list.
Yeah, so along with sending traffic to the site, which could be, you know, maybe Mediavine income and affiliate income, I would say, oh my gosh, probably 100% of my course sales come through my email list in some way, whether it's yes. through a sales funnel that gets them onto the email list, or, I mean, the way I really use social media, if I'm like launching a course or relaunching my membership, I'll mention it on social media, but really the way I use social media to sell is to promote opt-in freebies or some kind of incentive to get on my email list or, you know, join a webinar or whatever, which is essentially an opt-in freebie, getting people onto the list. And then I'm promoting. I would say 99% probably of my sales are from the email list, or at least from people who, if it's not from a sales funnel or a launch, they've been on my list for a bit and they're kind of like, okay, I'm ready, Jesse. You know, I know you tell us about blogging tips every week. I know you have this membership. Like, how can I join?
Yeah.
All the magic is on the email list.
That's just so good. So you say that between the top three, it's Mediavine, affiliates, and your digital products and course sales. So let's just say, for example, it's 33% recurring between those three, and then about 100% of the your sales for the course and digital products is from your email list, which means roughly 33% of your revenue for your whole business is through email.
Kind of. And then my tours. So the tours and photo shoots, because that's kind of, I started selling those on my blog because I basically had a lot of readers asking me to show them around New York City. And I never thought I would start a tour company. I just had so many readers asking this. I was like, okay, I see an opportunity here. So at first I just sold those through my blog, but then eventually it's a very active way to make money. It does very, very well for me. So I nurture it for now, but it is a company that I will eventually want to sell. So I did create its own, it's NYC Photo Journeys. It has its own website, but I link it in all of my New York City content in Jesse on a Journey. So actually almost all my sales for the tours come through SEO traffic, either through Jesse on a Journey blog posts or blog posts and pages directly on that website. A little bit affiliates. I do have an affiliate program for the tours, and I do have some affiliates sending bookings my way, but it's a lot of SEO, and then TripAdvisor reviews too. So TripAdvisor bookings.
Awesome. That's really cool. Setting up, and that's a really good thing for people to think about, is like when they're in business, they think about, well, how do I grow this business? And they go away outside of their business and research ways that they can grow the business. Whereas if the business and the people on your email list and people on your blog reading your posts are saying, here, we want this, you give them that, they'll pay for it. that's the best way to grow your business is inside out growth, right? Have you found that to be the best way you've grown your business?
Yeah, even for, yeah. And it's always amazing to me how many people don't, not so much the bloggers I work with, but other business owners. Like I also know a lot of tour company owners in New York City, and I don't think almost any of them have a blog. a lot of them are kind of doing social media, but I'm not really sure how they make most of their sales, to be honest. None of them are utilizing blogging though. And it's just, to me, such a missed opportunity because yeah, you do have to put the time into learning SEO, creating the content, but articles for me, once they're ranking, they rank for a really long time, years and years and years. Mm. So that blog post that's ranking today could keep bringing you bookings for years to come. And one thing I like to do, I try to do this every month, is I will look at my analytics and I'll look at what my top posts are. Actually, you know, sometimes that changes based on new content and, you know, things shifting around. And I'll check, did I add affiliate links? Did I add calls to action? Did I add opt-in freebie calls to action, getting people onto my email list? And every single time I see a ton of missed opportunities, maybe some of the affiliate links are broken. And those are posts that already have a ton of people reading them. So you want to make sure those are well optimized since you already have the eyes there.
Yeah. So I guess that brings me to the question I want to find out is like, where do you spend most of your time in your blog? And is it creating new content? Is it going back and updating content? What are some of the, I'd say the top three tasks that you do for running this blog?
Yeah.
To get the best results.
It looks so different all the time. I'll say like today I spent most of the day editing a blog post. And now I'm fortunate that I'm at a point that I do have some people helping. I have some writers. I have some people that do post updates, especially for SEO. You know, you could always look in your Google Search Console for anyone who uses that tool. You definitely should if you have a website. It's free.
So maybe we go high level and not just into the tactical of like, if it's changes day to day, which I'm sure it does, what about from quarter to quarter or each year, what are the top three buckets that you would focus on for growing the blog?
Yeah. So, I mean, for just strategies for growing, I would definitely say creating new content. I also update every month, but I could do that way quicker. I could really dedicate, you know, 3 days to doing a couple updates. So I would say creating new content, doing outreach to do collaborations with other creators and affiliates. So I will like swap, say, webinars so I'm able to promote my courses to their audience. They can promote theirs to mine and we get in front of each other's audience. That's another thing I put a lot of time behind. And my email list setting up and kind of making sure all my funnels are like working properly. Today, I actually realized that one of my webinar videos hasn't been working for over a month. I've been away like traveling. So now I'm like, okay, got to fix that. But you need to kind of check in on these things. Realistically, I should have checked that a little sooner. But, you know, important thing to check since that does bring me a lot of new people into my business.
Sweet. So new content, email, and relationships. How important have you found relationships in blogging?
Yeah, I try to do one day a month where I also just do outreach. Mm. I reach out to people who might want to be a guest teacher in my membership, who might want to swap guest emails where I'm sharing tips and also an opt-in freebie to get people from their audience onto my list. Mm-hmm. Swap webinars. I'll reach out to people that I think would be great affiliates for either my courses or my tours. So, mm-hmm. And some of it might be like working with brands pitching, but like I said, I do that a lot less nowadays. I rather focus on growing my digital products and my membership and things like that. But yeah, I definitely have found that to A, be a really great way to grow quite quickly, but B, it's a lot of fun. It's fun to connect with other bloggers. But you know, if you find another blogger who has a really engaged email list of bloggers, particularly if they don't have competing products with you, but they have the audience you want to get in front of, that's a great way to get a bunch of people on your list right away.
I love that you said that non-competing products, but also at the same time, if they have a complementary audience to your products or what you do, it's a huge win for you both, right? Like they can sell, you can sell their products and get an affiliate commission, and you can give them affiliate commission for selling your products. And even if somebody that doesn't have an affiliate product or their own digital products, they could, you could just, you know, give free gifts, like you said, a webinar or even like the basic old ebook, which has been beaten to death, right? You should, I believe people should have far smarter and cooler opt-ins and stuff like that these days. But you can just share, hey, how would your audience like this? Let's do a swapsies. I like that rather than you just going, hey, can I give this to your list, and they get on, you know, get on my email list and they get nothing in return. How big of that, how big is that in terms of creating a successful partnership in giving the same amount of value back to one another? How big is that for conversions for you?
In terms of like making it an equal partnership?
Yeah.
If I'm writing,
making it a partnership that, yeah, works, that people are going to want to say yes to, I guess.
Yeah, for me, whether I'm pitching a brand, an affiliate, because I'll swap webinars, not really swap webinars. I've reached out to certain affiliates to teach a webinar for my audience and use my affiliate link. I do that too. If I'm pitching an idea, I'm rereading it to make sure it sounds like a win-win. Mm. If I'm asking for something, I'm always putting something in there where it's like, what can I do for you too? Especially if it's someone I've never, you know, that's not like a close personal friend, let's say, which is most of the pitches I send. A lot of them are maybe people I've met once, or maybe we've done a certain, like spoken at an online summit together or done a bundle together. I always note the names of those people. I actually have a whole spreadsheet just because I'm like, okay, these are people that are probably collaborative. Next time around when I'm reaching out to people, I'm going to look at what they do and see if there's maybe some opportunities for us to work together in some way.
I love it. In our business, we have a relationship spreadsheet for each different department in our business, just in Google Sheets, and different people that run the different parts of that will put in names and emails and what they're on the list for. And it's so important, I think, to track relationships, because relationships are everything, in my opinion, in business and life. The quality of your relationships is so important. I wanted to speak about link building. Is this a thing that you do when you find, and when do you decide to do it, and for which pieces of content?
Yeah, when I have new content, I do always try to find opportunities for link building. I think it's really important. I think it's always important, but I always tell like newer bloggers, it can definitely help you grow much quicker. You know, it's hard when you first start a new blog, it does take time for Google to trust you. But if you could get kind of the backing of other blogs, bigger blogs, you know, you could do guest posting, Harrow, you could do collab posts. I publish a lot of those and I take part in a lot of those. It could be really, really helpful to just kind of get those votes of confidence from other people.
Mm. And so when do you, so for each new blog post, do you do a link building campaign, or is there, do you ever do it when you realize, oh, this post has done well, or I want it to do better? Do you, like, how do you decide which ones that, which blogs or posts to build links to?
Yeah, I kind of do a mix, and I'll be honest, I don't track this as much as good as I should, or do like full on campaigns for it. But if I see maybe there's one, either it's kind of two totally different things. Either one that has a really high traffic potential and it's ranking, but I want to keep it there, I will continue to build links to it because I don't want to like lose its position. Or if I see one that's like, you know, maybe in position like 3 or 4 and I want to like bump it up a little bit, I'll do that. If I publish a post and it's like on page, you know, the middle of page 2, I usually don't try so hard. I focus more on the ones that I think I'd rather move a post from like position 6 to 3.
Yeah.
Than like, 20 to 15.
Yeah. I agree. Focus on more of what's working and less of what's not working. It's a great approach. What's interesting is AI. AI has become the biggest shiny object syndrome in online businesses, to maybe not today, but like as of right now. And I'm all for it. I think it's good and I have zero fear around it. I love change, and because it forces everybody else to change, and I'm super adaptable. And I think everybody else listening should be adaptable and not be worried about it, because if you're open to change, then that massive opportunity in that. With AI, what tools do you use any AI tools for your business?
Very little. I'm not against it. I have such kind of a flow and strategy for what I've been doing that I haven't really felt a need for it. But one thing I use it for, this is brand new, I've just started kind of doing this, is I'll keep it open. And if it's like, usually if it's a guest post, like more on a topic I'm not totally familiar with, like today I was editing something about Lyon in France, and I don't know that city super well. So the writer the nightlife section was really short, so I wanted to add to it. So I went to ChatGPT and I was just kind of like, what nightlife options are there in Lyon? And then I kind of took a few of those ideas and asked it more questions to just get ideas about what I could add to it very quickly and easily. But in terms of like having it create outlines or really having it like create the content for me, I haven't done so much. I have used it for Pinterest pins, but for the blog, not as much, just more as like that assistant to help me do a little research.
It's fascinating that, and it's interesting, I find this in my own business, is that when you've owned your business for a while and you've got your own systems and processes put in place to create or finish a job or create content or whatever it is, often those systems and processes are so heavily refined to provide the content or create the thing that you actually want in your business exactly how you want it. And then in come these AI tools and be like, oh, I can make this process faster and simpler and easier. Yeah, cool. And I've tried that with a lot of different things in my business and realized that, hey, I've just wasted my time here with this tool because it's not providing the result that I actually want. It's just been a distraction.
Yeah, I feel like
I'd have to pay for this tool and get all these other tools that aren't going to give me the great quality content or whatever it is that I'm doing in my business that I'm already getting.
Exactly. I feel like I have such like a system down that I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's going to take me so long to like invest in refining it, because I know you have to be very specific with the exact prompts. And because I've done like general, just testing it out, like create an outline for this, and the outline it creates is just like a crazy mishmash of what already exists. And it's not great. Like I would need to fully just redo it. Mm-hmm. So at first glance, I feel like it's a little more work than necessary. However, I do have friends that use it and love it, but they say it does take time to like understand the correct prompts and refine that. So I'm like, well, if what I'm doing already works for now, I'm going to keep doing what I'm already doing.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. So as your blog continues to grow and evolve, are you looking to take it into new directions or do different things? And, you know, what's that going to look like in the future for you?
Yeah, the one new thing that's kind of like becoming bigger this year and almost on accident is speaking, which I really like. I've always spoken at the travel conferences, but this year I've just been asked to do a bunch of kind of new, different kinds of speaking gigs that I've really loved. I've kind of done one a month and I've loved it. So I'm going to try to keep that going. But other than that, just building out, not necessarily building out more courses, but perfecting the ones I have and just continuing to build on my membership. I would like, of all the things I've created, my membership is really like my baby. It's Travel Blog Prosperity. It's such an amazing community and just super supportive. I mean, we have the educational portion, but I think you said before, like the community aspect is just so incredible. And not only do I love it for the monetization that it brings my business, I actually love like hopping on the calls with everyone. And I was on a call right before this with one of the members, and I just absolutely love being a part of it too. So just continuing to grow that and take it to the next level would be the other focus. And then continuing to build the traffic, because Mediavine is the other beloved monetization stream.
Yes. And you've got the Profitable Travel Blogger podcast, mm-hmm. right? And how often do you publish?
Yeah, so I take off summers and winters, but outside of that, not full winters, but like kind of like the holiday break. But outside of that, I do every other week publish.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing where you're at and what you've done. It's absolutely awesome. I'm absolutely stoked with how much you lean into your email list. It's really cool. Especially with people listening, they just don't tap into it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. If you're not growing an email list, don't wait. Yeah. Make that your next on your to-do list.
Definitely leaving money on the table. So I want to link to your site, jessionourjourney.com. I'm also going to link to your podcast as well. Is there anywhere else that you want to send people to check out more about what you're doing?
Yeah. If you go to my site, jessionourjourney.com, there's a blogging tab in the menu, and then you'll be taken to a whole nother section of my site with free webinars and free, you know, different printables and things like that if you are specifically interested in learning how to grow a blog. And then beyond that, I do have a YouTube channel, How to Make Money Travel Blogging with Jessie on a Journey.
Awesome. Guys, check it out. I'll put links to those in the show notes. Jessie, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody that is listening, thank you for listening. Really do appreciate your love, your support. I don't ask for people to subscribe or leave reviews, but if you could share the love by sharing this podcast episode, that'd be greatly helpful for somebody that is wanting to buy and scale a blog. So that would be really cool. Thanks, Jessie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Awesome.